Thank you for these younger ones leaving. We thank you for wisdom for the teachers. We thank you, Father, Lord, for your insight, and we ask for the conviction of the Holy Spirit to be on them all and on us now during the remainder of this service this morning. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. I would like to see if people have been given any notes this morning yet. Who has received lack of faith in God, births destruction? Who's received these notes? Anyone? No one yet? Okay. I believe that we've got copies of these and we can hand these copies out. Where is Sunny Springer? Here she is. Excellent. Thank you, Sonny. Thank you. Ofer, thank you. We're handing these out, and we're going to begin this today with a look at the Old Testament. Now, I just want to say this, that the Old Testament, we preach really from the New Testament because this is the new covenant that we believe in. So we get our doctrine from the New Testament. Doctrines from the New Testament. But we can glean truths and principles from the Old Testament. Wisdom from the Old Testament. The book of Proverbs was a book that really helped to shape my life. The Old Testament has so many lessons for us, and indeed parts of the New Testament just won't make sense unless we understand the Old Testament as a context. So the Old Testament is very important, but usually we preach from the New as we speak about doctrine, and of course the New Covenant is so powerful. I find that in so many churches though, what happens is people get their doctrine from the Old Testament. Now, if you get your doctrine from the Old Testament, you're going to live in legalism and the law, and you're going to have problems. But if you have your doctrine from, and many churches do, and they don't experience the power of God because their understanding is in the Old Testament. Their doctrines are Old Testament doctrines. Very dangerous. So we have to live in the New Testament. But today, I want us to go into the Old Testament as part of the series that we've started looking at on the seven aspects of church life. Today I want us to look at studying, and I want to show what we can glean, for example, from the Old Testament. So this week I was reading some familiar passages, and I want to go this morning now. I've edited Numbers 13 and 14 down, and we have a narrative here. I'll read it out in full, and then we'll speak a little bit about the points that we can glean from this story. Come with me now then into the Word of God. Numbers 13, starting with verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, has everyone got one of these? Are we short any? We're not short? Okay, good. The Lord said to Moses, choose one of the leaders from each of the 12 tribes and send them as spies to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. When Moses sent them out, he said to them, go north from here into the southern part of the land of Canaan, and then on into the hill country. Find out what kind of country it is, how many people live there, and how strong they are. After exploring the land for 40 days, the spies returned. They told Moses, "We explored the land and found it to be rich and fertile, and here is some of its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and their cities are very large and well fortified. Even worse, we saw the descendants of the giants there." Caleb silenced the people who were complaining against Moses and said, "We should attack now and take the land. We are strong enough to conquer it." But the men who had gone with Caleb said, "No, we are not strong enough to attack them. The people there are more powerful than we are." So they spread a false report among the Israelites about the land they had explored. They said, "That land doesn't even produce enough to feed the people who live there. Everyone we saw was very tall, and we even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. We felt as small as grasshoppers, and that is how we must have looked to them." All night long, the people cried out in distress. They complained against Moses and Aaron and said, "It would have been better to die in Egypt or even go here in the wilderness. Why is the Lord taking us into that land? We will be killed in battle, and our wives and children will be captured. Wouldn't it be better to go back to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let's choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron bowed to the ground in front of all the people, and Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, two of the spies, tore their clothes in sorrow. The whole community was threatening to stone them to death. But suddenly, the people saw the dazzling light of the Lord and his presence appear over the tent. None of these people will live to enter that land. They have seen the dazzling light of my presence and the miracles that I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but they have tried my patience over and over and have refused to obey me. They will never enter the land which I promised to their ancestors. None of those who have rejected me will ever enter it." The men Moses had sent to explore the land brought back an evil, slanderous, negative report, which caused the people to complain against the Lord. And so the Lord struck them with a disease, and they died. Of the 12 spies, only Joshua and Caleb survived. First point, you'll see it in the form, which I'm giving to the Israelites. God had spoken and God had said, "I am giving this land to the Israelites." It was a promise from God. The question I'd like to ask this morning for each one of us is, what has God promised you? Have you received promises from God? You know, so often in our lives, we receive from God, we receive a promise, a word from God. We may be in prayer, it may be a dream, as we've heard from Gajon this morning. But we receive something from God. But then what happens is, instead of viewing the Christian journey as a marathon race, what happens is some people give up. They give up on God. They give up on his promises. And they don't see the promises of God, not because God wasn't faithful, but because they weren't faithful. They didn't continue on the journey and the call that God had for them. And the tragic thing is, you see people shipwrecked in their faith. You see people who were once living for God, enthusiastic about the faith, but they got off track. They started listening to the wrong voices. You know, so many that I think of through the years, they start off fast in the Christian faith. They're ahead, in fact. They're leading the way. It looks like if we're in a race, they would be right at the front. They'd be leading. But, you know, it fizzles out. The cares of this world, worries, all sorts of things come in. And instead of God being number one, and them running a race as a long-term, ongoing race, They sprinted off, and then they fizzled out. And they just stopped running. And that's why it's very important, you know, when we have services in the week, do your best to come to a service. The small group, do your best to be there. Oh, I know you're busy. But I believe that God is more important. Oh, yeah, but you've got to make money. You've got to do things. You've got your own personal things. Well, let me tell you this. The scriptures tell us, listen, you've got a choice. We have a choice in life. We either sow to the spirit or we sow to the flesh. Sowing to the spirit means we deny the flesh. Oh, I would like to go there. I want to see this. I want to go there. Yeah, you may well want to. Of course you do. Yeah, of course. The flesh will have you doing all sorts of things rather than being in fellowship, being in the word, being in prayer. But don't sow to the flesh and think that you'll reap from the spirit. Are you listening this morning? Are you sure, church? We have to sow to the Spirit. This is God's word. We have to sow to the Spirit. So then watch what happens. As we read on, the second point that grabbed me in this story was they said that they felt as small as grasshoppers. People who don't believe God. Now, these are the people then who refused to believe God's promise. God had made a promise to them, but they didn't believe God. They preferred to go with their own understanding. They preferred to stick with what they thought rather than what God thought. I heard a preacher this week say something very interesting, a man that I've respected for many years, been a great inspiration for me. A lovely, godly, humble man. And he said this week, so many times in church these days, people want God to repent. They want God to repent rather than them repenting. What does repent mean? A change of knowledge. A metanoia. Noia, gnosis, change of knowledge. They want God to repent rather than them repenting. Change what you believe, God. Change what you believe. I'm not going to change. I'm happy with the way I live my life. I like living my way. You change. You repent. God, you repent. My life suits me. I'm not going to change. You change. That's the blasphemy of this modern society and even in the Church of Jesus Christ. My friends, we're living in devastating days. But you see, these people, they felt as small as grasshoppers. People who don't believe God often become highly insecure in areas of their lives. And they feel small as grasshoppers. Some people, then they live by what they feel. They sow to their flesh rather than being spiritual. Last week we produced a little chart, a little table with 7 different areas of the Christian life. And I asked everyone to mark a number for themselves between 1 to 10. In those different areas. How many of you marked on those papers this week? Would you lift up your hand if you made some marks in the paper this week? Okay, so a few people did. I see 2-3 hands sheepishly raised. Well, if you didn't, it's okay. Maybe you made a mental note of it, and maybe you didn't physically do it. That's okay. What I'm saying is this. Examine ourselves. You see, what we're doing here this morning now is nice. Most of us are thinking of the buffet that's soon to come. But you know what? We mustn't lose track of the importance of what's happening right now and the challenge that God has given us to examine ourselves. We're not like grasshoppers, are we? The Bible, the New Testament, doesn't say that we're like grasshoppers. The New Testament says that we're kings and priests. Are you a king, a priest this morning for Jesus? Is that who you are? Are you sure about your place in Jesus? Good. Then walk in that and be confident of that. Now, there's ups and downs, there's flows, there's ebbs and flows. Of course there is. We're in a war, you know. It's not all plain sailing, is it, this Christian walk? Jesus says that each day has enough trouble of its own. It's not all plain sailing. I mean, I am bombarded in my mind at times. And you are as well. That's why we need the fellowship of one another. We need that fellowship. We need to encourage one another. And let me tell you this. When you see a Christian brother and sister, avoid just speaking, you know, sloppy to people. Too often we're speaking sloppy. Don't speak sloppy to people. Don't be overly friendly and having a coarse joke. Encourage one another. The Bible talks about when we greet one another with a holy kiss. It speaks of intimacy. It says speak about psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. You know, you see someone. I'm going to speak to your hearts this morning. Please listen to this. People are coming into the church. You think you know them well. You've known them for 20 years. They're coming into church. Some of them may be really going through it. And there's real problems they're facing. They don't need someone to say to them some casual throw, "Hey, how you doing, you old git?" I was in a church this week, visiting a church, and the person was so familiar with people. And this person had pulled up in the car, and they got out of the car, and this person said to me, "Oh, watch this one. She's always arguing with everyone. Oh, she's a right pain in the neck. She's always arguing. You got to watch this one." I thought to myself, I don't like that. He thought he was being funny. She seemed to smile, but you know, have you gone past the pretense stuff? We're past the pretense stuff. I don't like that. I, as a pastor, I know people are going through pain and hurt sometimes, and I don't want that sloppy talk coming out. Don't want it. I want encouraging talk. I want words of power and faith and encouragement. That's what we want. I know some people, you know, they have very bad thoughts. They're thinking very negative things. I counsel them in the week. Some people are really going through it. And they don't need people speaking like that. What they need is, "Here's my dear sister. How are you, sister? I'm so happy to see you. How's things? I'm glad to see you." That's what people need. Am I right? That's what we need. That's what I need. I'm going through it with you. We're all in this together. And there's enough negative stuff in the world. The church of the Lord Jesus must be a place of encouragement, building one another up, and love. This is very important, I believe. It's a simple thing, but it's so important. We're not grasshoppers. We're not going to act like it. We're kings, priests, we're ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Ambassadors. And the other verse, the next one, the third one, look, it says, and that is how we must have looked to them. Insecurity in people causes them to be overly concerned about how other people view them. So you see, they rebelled against God, and now they're thinking they must have looked at us as if we were just like nothing and grasshoppers. It's what happens when we turn away from God. If we're not prepared to believe God and go with what God's saying, what happens is we become very concerned about what other people are saying. And here's the fourth point. They complained against Moses and Aaron. When you find people in church, okay, and they're complaining. Now they're going to say, oh, that church, don't go to that. That church is full of cliques. That church has got this. That church is this. I mean, they'll just say all sorts of things against the leaders, you know. I mean, people just lie. When you follow God, not everyone's going to be happy. Are you listening this morning? Are you with me? When you follow God, not everyone's going to be supporting you. Saying, oh, you've done the right thing. You were in prayer today in Bible study. Oh, brilliant. Well done. Great. Not everyone's going to be saying that. Some people will, they don't like it. They'll rebel against it. Critical without just cause of Moses and Aaron. And then it says the whole community was threatening to stone them to death. What starts as unfair criticism can end up in evil hatred. It may be difficult to believe, but you know, this week I had a meeting with people and someone said they wanted to burn me like dry wood. That's what they said. I sat with someone who said they wanted to burn me like dry wood. Could hardly believe it. I had to, you know, the cartoons where your mouth drops. You see the, we got. They were meant to be a Christian. And then, of course, the talk kicks in. The negative talk. Point five, we will be killed in battle, and our wives and our children will be captured. Disobedience against God causes the imagination to be employed negatively and evil words to be spoken. Our imagination is a tremendous thing. With the imagination, we can think of things that don't currently exist. Who knows what the imagination can birth? Your imagination could birth something tremendous. I think sometimes of the computers, you know, that we have now. Apple computers. Well, the chap sat down and he had an idea and there was another one and they had ideas and they explored and they thought and then they thought of apps and then they thought of the internet, this thing called the internet. People think of things and then the imagination is used for these great things. The television was invented by a Christian. It's, notice the word, tell-a-vision. And he went to the pastor and said, I've invented something. I want it to be used for the church. Can you think of a way to use it? The pastor wasn't engaged with his imagination to the extent of the inventor. And the pastor said, I can't think of that being of any use at all. But it can tell a vision. It's just a means of communication. So often negative communication. Sometimes I've called it the devil vision. But it can be a positive thing. It can communicate good things. But our imagination is meant towards those ends. But when we turn away from God, when we rebel against God and what God has spoken to us, and we've refused to walk in faith for those things that God has promised to our lives, our imagination becomes stagnant. It's not fertile because we're in rebellion. I found that when we say yes to God, exercise courage and faith and say, yes, I'm going your way, God, what happens is the imagination can start to flourish. Ideas come. Can you relate to that? Are you with me this morning? And what they do then is, of course, point six. They say, well, let's choose a leader and go back to Egypt. When people are in rebellion against God and God's plans, what they'll do is they'll turn away from the leader that God gave them and they'll seek out a leader somewhere else that's more in line with what they're thinking. The New Testament talks about this and it says they have preachers for those with itching ears. They're not telling the truth. They're just telling you what you want to hear. Now, you know, we believe that God wants to prosper us and bless us and help us in every area of life. Spiritually, physically. But you know, when you watch the television and the Christian programs, if you see someone saying, send $70 for 7 months for seven miracles, we're wise enough to know that's not right, aren't we? You know, we know that this is a con. This is a con scheme, you know? Whenever anyone tries to link money in with anything to do with the blessings of God, other than what the scriptures teach about, given it shall be given unto you, you know, we understand those things. But so often people manipulate. And so we've got to be wise. God's calling us to understand and to be wise, to have courage, and not to go back to those things. But to be strong and say, no, I'm going to stick this because I'm in for the long run. God told us a promise. God gave me a promise. I'm going to stick with this because I believe what God has said. I don't care what's in the way. I don't care what mountain there is. If there's a mountain in the way, I'm going to have courage and I'm going to speak to the mountain. I'm not going to pretend the mountain's not there. I'm going to speak to that mountain. And in Jesus' name, there's power, and I'll see that mountain moved. But I'm not turning back and going back to Egypt or following some old teaching that I used to have and something that's more comfortable. I don't want comfort. I want God. Point seven, none of those who have rejected me will ever enter it. You know, we have built up a picture of God so often that's just wrong. We have a picture of God that he's all loving and that God is just, you know, he'll anything. You know, if you've got the gift of the gab, you're in real danger as well because you're used to persuading people. You know, you can just talk your way out of things and you can just, not so with God. You know, God is so filled with grace. He's so gracious to us. We think of the gospel of Jesus and Jesus hanging on the cross and he looks down and he says, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Jesus is filled with grace for us. But there is something with God that we ought not to push him when we received his grace. But we need to walk with the Lord. Those who turned away. I mean, if you were to employ your natural mind, think of this story in the natural mind. They see these people, these strong-looking people. They see this land, this abundant land, and they see these strong-looking, fierce people. And in the natural, they may have felt that, you know, we're not going to be able to take the land. We can't take that land. Those people are too big for us. We can't do this. But God says that that was evil. That was an evil perspective. Why? Because it was against God's perspective. So it was correct in the natural, though, wasn't it? You'd think that God could say to them, oh, well, I can understand. I mean, pity for them. They were looking in the natural. You can understand that, can't you? I mean, there are giants there. You can understand. It's reasonable to understand that. That's not what God says here. None of those who have rejected me will ever enter it, God says. And he says it for this reason, my friends, and we need to pay real close attention. It's this: refusing to believe God is a rejection of God. When we refuse to believe God, we are rejecting God. That's what it equates to. In the New Testament, we have promises of God, and we ought to discipline ourselves to believe those promises. Saying things such as, I don't have faith, is ultimately a rejection of God. Some people have said to me in the past, oh, it's okay for you, you've got faith in that type of thing, you got faith. No, listen, faith, it comes by hearing by the word of God. This is why we need fellowship together. This is why we need to be in the meetings that we have, because this is how faith comes. Faith doesn't come out there in the world. Faith doesn't come doing sports and hobbies and in the cinema. Faith doesn't come with those things. Faith comes by being with God, being with God's people, ministering to one another. That's how faith grows. And unless we have faith, we won't be able to do the things that God's called us to do. I don't know about you, but I want to do the things that God's called me to do. Are you with me this morning? Church, God has given us an opportunity to spend our lives with him and to accomplish things for him and his kingdom. I tell you, I want to do that. I could think of nothing worse than being on holiday for the rest of my life and living in a millionaire's paradise. I could think of nothing worse. It would be tragic. I was speaking to a man, he had a trust fund. You know, and he has one of these, he was a banker. You talk about rich. Dear me. I mean, they make 50 million in a month. A month. You're talking people with money. But it's tragic. They got their own plane. They have a beautiful, massive yacht. They've got their own island. It's just tragic. It's a tragedy. It's a disaster story. The world thinks it's the biggest success thing. You know, they think that's the epitome of success. I see it as a tragedy. Because there was someone with a call of God on their lives. And they went the wrong way. And so it's a tragedy. It just looks a little bit different to most tragedies, but it's a tragedy. And the last thing that I highlighted was point eight, an evil, slanderous, negative report. What kind of report are you giving? Make sure it's not an evil, slanderous, negative report. I was concerned recently. We had Melvin Banks' meetings. And I asked for people's opinion after the meetings. I was expecting glowing, great reports, happiness, joy, thankfulness, glory to God, hallelujah. What I heard was a lot of negative talk. I didn't show it to anyone. But inside I was weeping. But I'm quite good at putting on a blank poker face. Never played poker, but I think I'd be good at it. Perhaps I wouldn't, actually. Anyway. It hurt me. Because I know that what we sow, we'll reap. If you're sowing apples, apple seeds, you're going to reap the harvest of the apples. If you sow encouraging words, uplifting words, those words come back, we receive encouragement. I believe in the law of sowing and reaping. And I'd like us to decide to sow a good report. We don't pretend that the mountains aren't in the way. If there's mountains, we're going to be honest. We'll talk about the mountains, and then we're going to speak to the mountains. But when we're not talking about mountains, let's speak encouraging words, uplifting, and a good report. It means a lot to the Lord. And a good report is according to the Word of God. So that's the definition of a good... You want to know what a good... It's what the New Testament teaches in its doctrine. It's what the Old Testament teaches in its wisdom. That's a good report. It's very easy to gravitate towards the pull of this society and secular culture. But we must resist that pull. And we must yield to a good report. God's word on the matter. Whatever that matter is, find out what God says in the word and yield to that. Finally, as we close here this morning, I just want to say this. Jesus' words. Jesus says this, and it's written down in the quote from John 5. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. He's talking to religious people at this point. He's talking to those religious people who study the scriptures. But he says, these are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Life, my friends, is found not in a philosophy. It's not found in the philosophy of Jesus Christ, even. It's not the philosophy of Jesus Christ. It's not the theological truth of Jesus Christ as a theology. It's in the person of Jesus Christ as we meet him in a relationship, in fellowship, in prayer, as we study the scripture under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, convicting us of the truth therein, convicting our lives. It's when we allow the truth of Jesus to shape our lives. You see, sometimes what happens in the church is people come to church and they say, well, you know, that's a good sermon. Thanks. Yeah, enjoyed it. Great. I enjoyed the sermon. It's great. Nice points. I've made some notes. But I'm not going to allow those. This is the subtext that goes on in the mind and in the life thereafter. I'm not going to allow anything to have any impact on my life. Thanks for the good words. Thanks for the suggestion book called the Holy Scripture. Nice suggestions. Nice words. Good. I'm not going to allow it to impact on my life. My friends, we have to say, I believe this word. Therefore, I'm going to walk in accordance with this word. The people who went to the promised land didn't say, I believe this word, and it's a nice suggestion. I'll think about it now and then, maybe, you know, who knows? Well, you know, maybe I will. Oh, we'll wait and see. Up until then, I've got a few things to do. I've got, you know, life is busy. No. They said, I believe this word, and I'm going God's way. And I'm going to make a change because of what God has said. God says it in his word, therefore, I now take this direction for my life. God spoke to me about it in prayer. My friends, As I close here, I want to say this. I feel led to say this. Very simply, we have the 7 things from the leaflets last week. If you want a copy of those with the tick boxes, you make an examination, please ask. I think we've got some spare. But here's the point. If I was to say to you now, this week, just picture with me, if you will, 3 huge containers here. Everyone, just picturing as we close. 1 container, 2 container, 3rd container. In one, prayer. In this one, worship. In this one, Bible study. And 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In the last 7 days, how much would you pour into each container that represents the time you spent? How much time did you spend in prayer? How much time did you spend in worship? And how much time did you spend in the Word studying? I make a promise to you. Unless you make a decision to do those 3 things, you will never do them. You have to decide to do those things and say, come what may, if someone comes to the house, I'm not going to go. If the phone rings, I'm not going to answer it. Whatever's happening, I'm going to be in my room. I am doing these things because I want God's will for my life and for my family's life. I don't want to be a tragic case of someone who could have done something in the kingdom of God, but it's such a waste of talent. And in years to come, people will look and think, what a tragedy. Look, nothing, didn't grow at all. I don't want to be like that. I want to be someone who served the purpose of God in my generation. I want to be someone who reached their potential in God. I want people to look and see, yes, this person was really following the Lord. And they entered the promised land that God had called them into. Are you with me this morning? Brothers and sisters, there's only one way for us to do this. We need him, don't we? In ourselves, there's just no way. You can make a decision in the flesh, but you know you're going to fail. But let's go to him in prayer now as we close. Let's just stand together, please. So as we close, every eye closed, no one looking around. Father God in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this morning's service. We worship you, Lord, as this time now comes. Father, we want to respond to this scripture message. Lord, we know that you have plans for us. We know that you've called us. We know that you've given us promises. We don't want to miss out on those things. Father, we want to be all that you've called us to be. We don't want the enemy to trick us as he does with some that we've witnessed to. Father, we want to be those who are yielded and following your will. Please help us this morning now, Lord. Please help us. Listen, my brothers and sisters, as your eyes are closed, just in these moments, Heavenly Father, please show us now. We yield to you. Thank you, Lord. If you want to respond to the Lord, you sense, listen, this is speaking to me this morning. Don't be shy. You just put your hand right up and nice and high and say, I'm responding to God this morning. God has spoken to me and I'm going to respond to him this morning. I see hands going up. Don't be shy. You respond to God. Listen, there's no shame in responding to God Almighty when he's speaking to you. The shame is when you don't respond to him. You respond to God this morning. You know he's speaking to your heart. You know there's things that he's calling you to. He's calling you to change certain things. Listen, you have an opportunity to change. Thank you, Lord. So, Father God, then, you see our hearts. You see us responding. Father, we ask this. Have your way in and through our lives. That, Father God, we would be all that you've called us to be. And Lord, I ask for your protection on everyone here now. I ask for your strong arm of protection on each one within the sound of this voice. Father, in this room, thank you for your touch on each one, Father. And I pray, Lord, that as we have fellowship after this service, you continue to minister to us and through us, because we believe that we are all, as believers, ministers of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. In his name, we thank and praise you. Praise be to God. Amen. 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 Listen, if anyone wants special prayer for anything, I want you to invite you to come to the front now. The service is dismissed, but if you want prayer for anything, feel free. You come to the front. Praise be to God.